This is Larry Wilde, and I want to tell you about my meeting with Woody Allen. It was arranged by Woody's manager, Jack Rollins, and took place in Mr. Rollins' inner office. Woody arrived exactly on time, wearing desert boots, brown corduroy pants, a black crewneck sweater, tan corduroy jacket, and a three-quarter length car coat. He was extremely courteous, very cooperative, and I must say that by the third question, we both relaxed and had a very good rapport.
Woody, what made you decide to stop writing for other comedians and become one yourself?
Because writing for other comedians as a lifetime pursuit is a blind alley. I mean, I never had any intention of continuing writing for other comedians even before I decided to perform. At that time, I was just writing for them to earn a living, and I was interested in writing for the theater, which I'm still interested in doing. And then I got interested in performing a little bit. It occurred to me that it might also be a good avenue of expression. So I decided to try it. But there's no future in being a TV writer, really, or a, you know, you can hack around from show to show, and you're always worried about, is the comedian you're writing for going to be dropped because of bad ratings? And if he's dropped, you may have to find yourself moving 3,000 miles away to the other coast to write for a new comedian. You know, it's a rough business.
Right. When you began writing material for yourself, did you first decide what your image was and then began writing?
No. There was never any sense of image. I still don't have any sense of that at all. I just wrote what I thought was funny and wanted to perform what I thought was funny, and I found that after a year or two of performing, some sort of image formed itself. I mean, critics would come in and people would come away and agree on certain images they had of me, certain aspects of me that they seemed to be in agreement on. But as far as I'm concerned, I have no special image, no interest in formulating an image, and and I think the worst thing I could do would be to believe the images of me that I read in the newspapers and then try and cash in on that and keep going over the same ground all the time.
In other words, you're doing what you feel is the right thing for you to do.
Yeah, whatever I feel is funny, I do, whether it, you know, without any regard to the subject matter. And if an image emerges, fine. If not,
Well, is it easier to write jokes for yourself than it was for other comedians?
It has different problems. For another comedian, I'm much less selective. You know, I would write 10 jokes for another comedian and use 8 out of 10, finally, in putting together his act, and it would work. For myself, I find that I'm much more cowardly and I use, like, 1 out of 10. You know, I'm much more selective in my own material. I pamper myself more.
I see. Well, you say you write 10 and you only choose 1. After a while, what percentage of the jokes do you find work for you?
What finally remains in my act is really a very, very small percentage of what I come up with. When I write a piece of material, something occurs to me at some point, an idea or a notion that I think would be funny or something that's actually happened to me, and I try and develop a long story on it with as many laughs coming as close together as possible, and I find that after I'm finished, I have a lot of jokes on it, a lot of remarks to make and comments, and as I look at them, I find 90% of them are not really, don't meet the standards that I would like to present publicly to an audience. And then I go out and I condense what was a 20-minute thing to 6 minutes, and I go out and do it, and I find that my judgment was wrong on part of it, that the audience is not laughing at some of it where I thought they would laugh, and laughing at things that I couldn't imagine would get laughs. So I adjust it further, and it comes down to 4 minutes, you know, and gradually gets honed down. And so in order to get a half-hour act, it takes me a long time, and I write a lot of material.
That's one of the questions I wanted to ask. Do you write each piece to last a specific length of time?
No, I have no regard to time at all. I mean, if it lasts 15 minutes or 15 seconds, it couldn't matter less.
Right. How much time, generally, does each routine take to perform? Do they average out to 6 minutes a piece?
No, they vary completely.
Depending on how it turns out after you've written it.
Yes, there have been times when all I could get out of what I once thought would be a very funny idea for 5 or 6 minutes would be one good joke and nothing more. And that joke I couldn't put anyplace else because it was would be such an unusual joke that it wouldn't fit in another routine. So I'd find that I would just stop in the middle of talking about something else and do that one single joke and get a big laugh with it completely out of context and then go on.
Nice.
You know, so the routine is lasting then about 6 seconds.
How many times do you need to do it before it's perfected?
Well, I would like to do it. I find that the more that I do it to a certain point of diminishing returns, it gets better. That is, it's not the best the first night I do it. It gets better and better as the months go by. And then it hits a point where it can fall off because it becomes too roped.
Pat.
Yeah.
What are the actual steps that you take to create a new piece of material, step by step?
There are two ways that I have of working. One is spontaneously, where during the course of just my daily activities, funny things occur to me, ideas for jokes, premises, and I write them down.
Excuse me, what do you mean by a premise?
A premise would be something like, I found that there was the blackout in New York, and it occurred to me that it would be funny if I was caught in an elevator during the blackout trying to move something like a piano myself, and I was caught holding it. Now, that's not good for one joke. I found that that would lead me to a whole funny story about how I decided to move from one apartment to another and why I decided to move, what was wrong with the first apartment, and how I looked for the second apartment, and then why I didn't have moving men do it because I wanted to do it myself, and then finally the hard work of doing it and trying to lift the piano and getting into the little elevator with it and trying to hold it up for the minute that it takes to go up to the 20th floor, and then the blackout comes and I'm stuck for 6 hours or something trying to hold the piano up. I find that each step of the way should be told with as strong a joke as possible.
In other words, when you say premise, you mean in essence a story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end?
Yes, that idea which gives you a plot line to talk about for an extended length of time.
A plot line which allows you to hang jokes on or laughs on.
Yes.
So that you go from the beginning right straight through to the end.
Right, as opposed to just a single joke that would occur to me.
I see. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you about the steps. Then what do you do then?
So these premises will occur to me, or single jokes will occur to me, and I write them down. They occur to me spontaneously. I could be walking on the street or shaving, and I write them down on anything handy, like matchbooks or napkins or whatever's around, and I just throw them in a drawer at home. And then when the time comes that I've got to get new material for appearances, I take out all these things and I lay them out in the room, and I've got all kinds of things, toothpick holders and matchbooks and little knickknacks with writing on them, and I see which ones hold up and which ones are actually worth going for. And I combine that those things that have occurred spontaneously with an actual mechanical process of sitting down in a room and having no notes at all and just knowing that 3 nights from now I'm going to appear on the Ed Sullivan Show, and I've got to just prefabricate a piece of material on something.
Well, when you say 3 nights from now, I don't think you mean literally 3 nights, because we've agreed before that it takes a specific amount of time to break in jokes or lines or a premise, and
it
certainly
does.
You wouldn't want to go on a major television show with something that you've just written 2 or 3 days before without trying it out.
I wouldn't want to, and I try and avoid that as much as possible, but sometimes it's unavoidable, and sometimes I have gone on television shows with things that I've never ever done any place before. It was the first time that I've done them, and I find that they're usually not as good for me as things that I've broken in. And they're only not as good because, say, the routine that I'm doing consists of 20 laughs. Well, hopefully 20 laughs. I find that if I do it in a club, that there's really only 16 laughs in it. And finally, 4 laughs are knocked out because they consistently don't work. And then the bit becomes tight and has a lot of punch to it. But if I do it on television the first time, I discover that there are 4 weak spots in it. After it's been seen by everybody, you know, it's too late then, and those 4 weak spots you know, considerably weaken the impact of the whole thing.
Two questions come to my mind. Do you try out the jokes on friends and anybody who will listen, like a lot of the comedians do whenever you create something?
Not really, no, because I find that it doesn't mean anything. You know, it can only be discouraging.
You wait until you get in front of an audience.
Yeah, that's really where it counts. And not these late show, second show, sparse audiences. You know, a lot of performers will, you know, when the good audience is there, they'll do their good show, their strong show. And then if they get a half house for the second show on a weeknight in a nightclub, then they feel that they should try out the new piece of material, because if it doesn't go, they won't get hurt very much. But I find the best thing to do is to come right out and lead off your best, most crowded show, like your Saturday night full house show, and come out. You must do it under, you know, the best conditions possible, because it goes over better that way. You know, you're just asking for trouble by breaking in material, you know, under any conditions that aren't the best. And if you tell it to friends, you know, it's always depressing, because, you know, there's a couple in a room and they'll say, yes, I think it's very funny, and this joke doesn't thrill me too much. And there's no point hearing that from one person. It's better to do the joke before 200 people and find out, because, you know, if the guy says to you, I don't think that joke's so great, you get very shaky, or I get very shaky about it, and I might not try it on the floor.
What is the specific, you talked about writing a thought that's funny spontaneously and putting them away, etc. What is the actual process? How do you go about creating a joke?
It's very hard to say that, because it depends on what circumstances you do it. When you do it, when you're hired, say, by Sid Caesar to write for Sid Caesar, there's a different way of doing it, sort of, than you do it for yourself. I mean,
how about just for yourself?
It's very, very intangible, really. What I try and do is, when I decide what it is that I'm trying to write, I mean, supposing I'm trying to write the story about moving the piano, what I try and do is take it right from the top, as far back as I can go. You know, for instance, the first thought that occurs to you is getting stuck with the piano. And then I start retracing it backwards, like, why am I moving myself? Maybe I'm moving myself because I don't want to spend the money on moving men. And why do I want to move? Because I don't like my apartment. And have I always had trouble with apartments? And why did I always have trouble with them? And what were the apartments like that I lived in? And what was my apartment like in Brooklyn? And if my apartment was poor in Brooklyn, why was it poor? Because my parents couldn't afford very much money, so what did my parents do for a living? And I find this goes back and back forever. You can just take it endlessly back, and I start as far back as I can possibly start. So I might start the business about the piano by saying my mother married my father because he was a cab driver, and finally, through a lot of stories about how she met him and how they moved in Brooklyn and how they got their apartment, and, you know, a lot of circuitous talk, all with jokes, hopefully, I finally get up to the part about the piano. You know, it's sort of working backwards,
I see,
in a way.
And is there a specific format that you use to create a joke? Let's say, for example, if someone were going to a college and were taking a course in journalism or in creative writing or in writing a novel, there's certain basic rules, let's say, that they lay down. Can you adapt certain rules in creating a joke? Are there certain...
Not a good joke. I mean, it's like splitting the atom. You can't, you know, beyond a certain point, you can't dissect it anymore. It's purely an inborn thing. I mean, I don't believe that you can learn to write jokes. Not good ones. You can learn a certain mechanical thing and create variations of other jokes written, even good variations of them. But you can't... It's nothing you can learn. It's purely inborn.